Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com and the author of the Prayer Prescription Series. The Prayer Prescription Series is the sponsor of this show. You can go to katelovingschenck.com to receive a book I wrote called The Self-Healing Manifesto, which is up on the right-hand side of the page. My guest this evening is Sheila Aldett, a.k.a. Astrology's Astrologer. She is not here at the moment. I know she will be here. She can be, if any of you wish to use her great knowledge and her great insight and her services, you can email her at Mary Sheila Aldett. That's Mary as in M-A-R-Y, S-H-E-I-L-A, A-U-D-E-T. That's Mary Sheila Aldett at gmail.com. I've known Sheila for a long, long time, and her insights are such that people may not like to hear what she has to say. And that is something that, you know, you can't always have people tell you what you want to hear or what you think, you know, things that you agree with or that you have, that you agree with people about the same opinion. Therefore, I believe that Sheila is not only a friend, but a guide, as it were. She has helped me, and she was a very close friend of my mother's, and my mother was the one who called her Mary Sheila, and to this day, that is what she calls herself. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Let me just bring on the first caller. Hello, area code 847. How are you this evening?
Hi. This is Jill.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And Sheila just got on, so let me bring her on. And you can ask her questions. She can do an astrological reading as well as a tarot card reading. Not an astrological reading based on, you know, the very in-depth kind, but she's very good at getting to exactly what you need to know. So here she is. Hello, dear Sheila.
Thank you.
Hi,
Hello,
Jill.
Dear
Hi.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Okay,
what's
you need my information?
Yes, I do.
Okay, 12/17/1960.
Okay. Where were you born,
Jill? 7:45 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
In Waukegan, Illinois. Do you need me to spell that?
No.
W-A-U-K-E-G-A-N.
Okay. So what are you up here asking, Jill?
Okay, I've been stuck for a few years, and I'm getting scared financially, and I'm kind of lost career-wise. Do you see anything coming up for me?
God, that's a lot, Jill.
Is that a lot?
That's a lot, Jill, isn't it? Okay. So, wait a minute. 12. Okay. Just let me get it up here. Okay, I got it. All right, honey. So, a stuck Sag, right?
Yes.
Isn't that something? A stuck double Sag?
Yes.
Well, how did you do that?
I come from a very dysfunctional family. I think that's what happened.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to say to you is you have Mercury in Sagittarius, right?
I think so.
Yes. So you have the Sun in Sag, the Moon in Sag, the environment in Sag, and Mercury in Sag. You should be running Disney World, you know? The whole thing about this is the whole everything happens to a Sag the way they have the vision and the way they tell the story. So the way you just tell the story is the way that that is going to stay, because that is the vision and the imagination that you're using to tell the story.
Okay.
And the Sagittarius, that's particularly important with the Sagittarius. You need to sit, you need to go and get yourself a collage board, put it up in the wall, put up everything that you want on it. You need to do an action box, which is filling a box full of things that you want, like your a new job, everything that's keeping. And you need to take stuck out of your vocabulary. You need to put challenge in there. This has been a challenge for me because, you know, basically, as soon as you decide what you want, though, everything unlike it will show up in your space. So don't think that it's not happening, okay?
Okay.
Because the world is going to test you. It's going to test you big because you're a Sagittarius. But, you know, you have to know, Jill, that you're holding the vision of the world with this chart. I mean, it's a beautiful chart, and it's your language. And a Venus in Aquarius is really love of all humanity. It's a great expansive love. And what you're the one in the many, and the many in the one. And so your Sagittarius energy is really important. But I think by your vocabulary, you're keeping it stuck. Now you would say, okay, I have Saturn. You have Saturn in Capricorn. Saturn in Capricorn is exalted. That means not only do you have the vision, but you can build it. You know, if you build it, they will come. I mean, seriously, Saturn in Capricorn is your ancient brain. It is the brain of your past lives. It is gathering antiquities. What do you love to do?
I love to help people
mm-hmm.
and make a difference and help animals and make a difference. That's what fills me up and makes me happy.
Well, so you can do that and bring the energy of money. Do you believe you can bring the energy of money in that?
I don't know. I hope so.
See, there it is. There was the language.
Yep.
The language is, I'm not going to try, I'm going to do. What do you have sitting in front of you? Anything. Pick it up. Try to pick it up. Did you pick it up?
Yep.
You didn't try, you did it.
Yes.
You didn't try, you did it. There are
yes.
so many great healers. Neil Welsh, all of these ones that started out that said that they wanted to be healers and they wanted to make money and they wanted to heal people and they wanted to heal animals. And they tried out by starting a business, by not just being a beingness. And then if you start and you go someplace like hospice or you go someplace to help somebody and you begin to help people, there are stories all over the place with Eckhart Tolle and all, that if you just begin to help, that seed is planted and you have a Sagittarian seed. So you just begin and then you communicate and then your energy, your electromagnetic energy reaches out to those people around you and that reaches out to the next people around them and you're gathering energy onto yourself to do what you love. And that is a beingness, not a doing. A doingness is I have to do this and I have to make money and I have to do, but a beingness is I'm just going to be and I'm going to heal and I'm going to do what I'm most talented at. And one woman wanted to start, a school for children. And she said, does everybody want to do that? I said, no, only you. So your soul is telling you exactly what your beingness is supposed to do in your human incarnation. So all you have to do is stop telling the story. It's as easy as that with your Sagittarius stuff.
I get that. I understand everything you're saying.
I don't want you to understand it. I want you to intuitively get it in your heart. I want you to get it at the genius place. You know,
see,
Star
this
Wars?
This is what screws my head up. Because I was the youngest of an extremely dysfunctional family. I was told I'm no good, worthless, I was shamed, I'm this, that, everything else. I actually put everything down on a piece of paper the other day that I was told, and I burned it, and it filled the whole paper up. And
that's
it just
great.
Goes through my head and goes through my head. And then my sisters still abuse me and my parents are gone. And it's just like, how do I purge it out of my system?
Well, your parents aren't gone at all because they're still abusing you.
No, they're dead.
They may be. I know what you said. I know that they're gone physically, but mentally it doesn't matter. Even if, you know, somebody comes into me for a relationship thing and they go, well, I'm out of the relationship. I go, no, you're not. You just talked about it for 45 minutes. I mean, as long as you're telling the story of the abuse, as long as you're telling that story, as long as you're living in that history, you're not walking out of it, Jill.
Right,
you're
I know.
You're not walking out of it. And you saying letting it play with your head, it's going to play with your head till you say no more, till you do the hero's journey and stand up and say, this is my journey, I'm a hero, I am stepping over that threshold. Because what you're doing right now is fighting with the guardians of the threshold. You are fighting with your sister and these people that are standing in front of who you are to be. And there's always guardians there. And the stronger they are, the bigger the soul. Because the stronger the soul is like you, the bigger they want to hold it back. So what you need to do is say, move over. You need to put on the red slippers and tell them to move over and get your courage and your heart and your brain together and go down the yellow brick road. That's what you need to do.
Okay.
And I hope I'm playing with your head because that's what you need to do, okay?
Yes.
You need to get in your journal and you need to say, these are the blocks at my threshold. These are the people that are blocking me. These are the stories that are going around in my head that are blocking me. I'm going to write this all down. I'm going to write it out. And, of course, you can burn it. But if you don't believe, you know, what Yoda said, you have to believe that when you burn it, it's out. If you don't believe that, then it's just a process that doesn't work, Jill.
Okay.
I would suggest if fire is one thing, that's burning it. That's a Sagittarius thing. Burying it in the ground is another thing. You know, you can. There's a lot of do it all three, all of the elements. Put it in the earth, burn it up. Put it in the ocean. Okay, tear it up and throw it in the air. Do all of the elements.
Okay,
cover it all. Okay.
Okay.
And say prayers. Okay. Let me pull a card for you.
I was going to say, we need a tarot card on this one.
Okay, honey. I got in the Mother Peace card, I got the card, the time card, and it has layers. It means what you first told me is that you went with these people, you went out, you served them, you were in the family, you came back and you gave them your soul. You need, and this guy has a jug here and he's giving them his soul yet. You need to take it back. You need to go, that is not your being, that is mine. You're even going to war and somehow telling this story over and over, you are on their side. Instead of your side, you are on their time. Do you want to waste one more minute of time on this?
No, I don't.
Because one person, some animal, they're out there not being healed because you're wasting time on this. Do you realize that?
That's a good point.
Every single minute, every single time you do this, then you are wasting time of healing somebody.
How did I end up giving them my soul? How does that happen?
That happens because you're trained. We come in here and we come into a human, and the density of the human incarnation is that it vibrates very low. And what happens is that parents, we come in and we get baptized into their place and we make communion, and some of them are abusive and some of them bring their childhood, their soul bruising into the child that they have. And they do it maybe with one child and not with the rest, but they have to project it on somebody.
So they project
right.
it on somebody. And they usually project it on the child that will accept it the most. Some children just go, I mean, I saw one in Walmart today that just turned around and said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I looked at my friend and said, he's not, you know. So
uh-huh.
There is rapport. That, and the other thing is you have to take responsibility for the contract that you made with them before you came in. There was a lesson to learn. Not until you spiritually do a journal something and write at the end of it, what did I learn from that? How strong did I get from that? How did I survive that? Who can I help with that information? Not until you do that do you take your soul back.
Right, I get that too. I know that I can help a lot of people and animals because of what I've gone through. That I know.
Isn't that,
I have sympathy.
Isn't that enough?
Yes.
You have to say that's enough. I don't have to learn anymore. I don't have to take any more abuse. The sister calls you, say goodbye. I'll talk to you later. Maybe in another life. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You just don't have to listen, okay, unless you want to abuse yourself, because that's a projection of you still wanting to abuse yourself. You're used to it.
Right,
you're
used to that drama. Yes. And that's what you know, and then trying to step out of that, it's scary because it's the unknown. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, and say it a different way. The challenge is to jump off the cliff. When we jump
right.
off the cliff and we go off the edge of all we know, then we learn what we don't know. And that's great. So basically what I'm going to say to you is Portia Nelson's thing is wonderful. You walk down the street, chapter one, and you fall into a hole. I don't know how I got into this hole. These people, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm a victim. Chapter two, I walk down the street. I fall into the hole. Now it's your fault I'm in the hole. I'm going to stay in this hole forever because it's your fault you put me in this hole. Chapter 3, the responsibility hole. I set this up. I fell in this hole again. This is for me to learn something mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I'm getting out of this hole fast. Chapter 4, I walk around the hole. And chapter 5, I go down another street. And it's history. You hear me?
Yes, I do.
And that's what I'll leave you with tonight, okay?
That was excellent. Very, very excellent.
Yes, thank you, Jill. You were too.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye,
you
honey.
For calling. Thank you,
thank
Jill.
Thank you.
We'll be thinking about you, sending you good energy.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Bye, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, this is 510-510 area code. Hello, good evening. How are you?
Hi, thank you. This is Camille calling from Alameda, California.
Oh, welcome.
Hi.
How
thank
is it
you.
In California?
Today, it's bright and sunny right now. It's gorgeous.
Oh, brother.
Beautiful.
Well, it's not here.
Good for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Camille, what's your birthday, honey?
Yes, July 13th, 1976.
Mm-hmm.
At 6:18 p.m. in Los Angeles.
Gosh, all these people know their exact time. Pretty intense. You know, a lot of people don't, but 6:18, man, that's an exact time to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you say six, you know, somebody was watching the clock.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was watching the clock?
Who knows, but I'm a very, I consider myself an intermediate astrologer, so I kind of commit things to memory just so I can keep abreast of things.
An intermediate astrologer?
Yeah,
why is it intermediate?
There are things that certain aspects and things that I won't pretend to know for myself. I don't commit
mm-hmm.
that to memory just yet. Maybe with time that'll change, but at the present moment, no.
Mm-hmm.
But when I open up to it, I'm sure that'll happen.
Okay. So how do you get drawn to astrology?
Over time, something years ago, I was like 20 years old or something, just started to nose into my chart a little bit more and more. And
that's
I kind of check in with it. Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you want to know here?
Well,
you
okay,
have Moon in
so,
Aquarius, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I had a very interesting experience. Like, I moved from Alameda. I moved from Los Angeles to Alameda 5 years ago. And without giving you the whole rundown story, I've come to realize that a lot of what happened after I moved here was kind of like society's expectations of what a woman should be, and especially what a woman of color should be. And I kind of learned some interesting lessons that shaped my character as a educated woman, independent, living alone in her own home type of thing, where I'm starting to realize, okay, it's not me, it's them, and how to shape all these things and be, do something constructive with it. So now I am turning into my career, the strength of my Libra midheaven, and how I can best utilize that and have a good professional life.
Yes, sir. Okay. What I'm going to say to you is the Libra midheaven is very interesting. Libra midheaven, you know, a lot of astrologers go with it that it's a lot of, well, the cookbook astrology and everything is the fact that it's about relationships. Well,
okay.
It's not totally about relationships. It is a connection of right and wrong, good and evil, black and white. It's the if you have a Libra midheaven, it's about balancing out the world. So you have the Sun in Cancer. And the fact that the Libra midheaven means there is not black without white. There is not good without bad. There is not up without down. Every single thing in our incarnation is duality, okay? So when you have a midheaven in Libra, it basically means that you came here with the Sun in Cancer. And what I look at the Sun as is in the center of the Sun is a dot, you know, the red circle with the dot in the center.
Yeah.
That is the God seed. That is the seed. You're not really the expectation and the aspiration is to be a Cancer. It's not what you are because we use every other part of our chart to get there. The chart is a journey. The chart is like a hero's journey as soon as it's thrown. And it means we get stuck in different parts of the chart. But every projection that we set up with other people is something that we're supposed to teach and something that we're supposed to learn. So when you get into an environment, which you said I moved and I came into this environment, you began the soul work that you were supposed to do. But first, you had to experience it. I don't think you can teach anything unless you experience it at a very deep level.
Right.
It means that you have to get in it, roll around in it, you know, and the God seed is hidden and way down deep. And so a lot of people never come into their sun sign. A lot of people never use their entire chart. A lot of people get stuck in, like, Mars, Mercury, Venus, all that energy, and they don't, and the emotional energy of the moon, and don't dig deep to really get the seed to break open and grow. So the bigger the challenge, the seed is going to break open bigger and come through the soil up to into the bud of the Aries thing and reach toward the sun. So you're in this world in with this chart to really work with the duality of the world, to work with the injustices of the world, to work with the whole woman issue, the women issues and the black and white issues and all these issues. You are a leader in that. And the moon in Aquarius, the natal moon, not, you know, I don't know where your progress moon is. Do you know?
When I did a relocated chart, all I know is that the big change is my Venus in Cancer, it shifted from house 7 to house 8. So
Well, I'm not talking about relocation. Yeah. Relocation, a secondary progression is the progression of the moon that moves every 2.5 years.
Okay.
So our moon changes signs every 2.5 years. And our son, of course, only moves a degree a year. So it takes 30 years for his son to go through, you know, to go through a sign. So if you're born at 20 degrees of Cancer, when you were 10 years old, your son went into Leo.
Interesting. Okay.
And so when your son went into Leo, that means you're still a Cancer, but you're now working with Leo stuff. It's one of the hardest transitions there is, because it's like being underwater or being backstage or being, and then all of a sudden being thrown right into the center of the stage. And you go, whoops, man, wow. It's a hard progression, really a hard progression. So right now, you know, and the Aquarian energy of yours is that you are meant to be outside the circle. Because if you're inside the circle or you're inside the box, you can't make any change because you're still in the comfort zone. You're in the comfort zone of the way you set up your life. So you need to stretch into the next circle. And the next circle is like you do thing processes to stretch yourself. And then you go into the next circle, which is risk. And then you risk something really big. And then you go into the outside circle, which is die, which is the complete change of dying to an habitual habit pattern that keeps you in the comfort zone. And that's where you are right now.
That's true.
That's exactly where you are. And Saturn in Leo, I mean, this Saturn that you have in Leo is a fear of the center stage. It means I want to go there. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
I'm right here.
The one thing thing. So you want to go there, but you have fear of it, okay? And I don't know what that is. It may be fear of abandonment, fear of success, fear of failure, fear of whatever it is, but you need to work on that fear in a journal or something. You need to find out what is keeping you from going to do the maximum thing that you want to do in this life. That's Saturn that's Saturn in Leo. You know, Saturn is the co-ruler of Capricorn, so it's ruling that Aquarius moon. And you may think that the world is not ready for it, but it is. It's ready for it right now.
Good.
Okay. All right.
That makes sense.
Okay, so I got the Daughter of Swords, and this is beautiful. Do you work with Mother Peace cards at all?
I do. I've got the big one and the small one of that deck, so I've got it upstairs. I have to look in it.
Yeah, well, I do think that deck is really good for you. I think that deck is like the perfect death. You know, when I saw the Mother Peace cards, I said, "Oh my God!" Because they're so beautiful, and they're for women, and they're so ethnic, and they really, where the tarot cards are much more, you know, severe. And so anyway, you got the Daughter of Swords here, which is the Pegasus coming in through the eye of the little eye, and the whirlwind, and she's on the top with her sword. Out and the breath of truth is coming out of her mouth, and I think you should go upstairs and get that card and put it up in your mirror, because that's where you are right now. That's where you are right now. And then you got the Wheel of Fortune. Now the Wheel of Fortune means any way you go is going to be fruitful, but you got to do it. It means you can't just sit in the middle and not do it. It's do or do not do, as Yoda said. And it, you know, stop coming from your head and coming from your genius intuition, because the moon in Aquarius has a genius intuition. It means you get the idea and then you don't move on it. And guess what the next card is? The Empress. She's laying in between. Yeah, she's laying in between lifetimes. She's laying in between the past, and she's laying in between the past and the harvest. She has her totem laying over her, her talent laying over her. She has the red rose there, and a red rose, that signifies pain and passion and not being able to do it. So you need to put the red rose down and pick up the mirror that's laying in front of her and look at that mirror and say to yourself, you can do this.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Let me ask you, before I get off the line, have you made a guest appearance on any other Blog Talk podcasts in the past?
No, I have not.
Okay, yeah, there was another woman who was reading some Mother Peace, and I don't want to get, I can't get into the story now, but I asked about a relationship, and someone pulled Mother Peace cards with me, and it was a woman giving birth. Make a long story short, I didn't realize I was pregnant until my delivery, and that was predicted in the cards, maybe, the very beginning of November, so maybe 5 weeks later, I was in the hospital giving birth, and that Ten of Pentacles with a woman giving birth surrounded by all the other women is what I experienced. So now I have...
I didn't pull that card.
No, but whoever did, I can't seem to connect with whoever show that was so I could re-listen, because in all these cards of birth in that Mother Peace, and I can't find that podcast at all. This is something that went back to maybe early November of 2011. So, yeah. There you go.
Maybe it was
but
an angel.
The Mother Peace. Must have been. I still remember
must
what
Must have
card.
Been an angel. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good
night.
Good night. The next person is the 646 area code. Welcome. It's still kind of spinning, but it will be here in 1 second.
Oh, okay. Spinning? What does that mean?
Oh, 646 area code. Welcome.
Welcome. Good night. How's everybody doing?
Well, good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
What's your name?
My name is Anthony.
Mm-hmm. When were you born?
6/30/1970.
Okay. June 30th, 1970, right?
Yes.
And what's your question, Ed?
Anthony, the question is probably centering on just relationships. Yeah, I guess might as well make a relationship. I was going to say, hurry up, the relationship slipped out, so.
Relationship slipped out?
You know, I meant to say career. I guess so. I'm going to stay with career then. I'll stay with career.
Okay. So, June the 30th, 1970. Did you say your name is Anthony?
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right, Anthony. Okay. Were you born in the morning or the afternoon, Anthony?
The morning.
Okay. Are you in a relationship now?
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, when I look at this chart, it means when you do get into a relationship, you better be very
Mayor.
Huh? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. I don't know who that was.
What was
that?
That
was interesting.
And that test thing. It would register.
I don't think you can make copies of it.
I'm going to just mute some things here.
If you just scanned it and not made a copy, it would register in the printer.
I scanned the other thing twice.
Okay, there. Now go ahead, Anthony and Sheila. I just muted the line.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Anthony, you are a Cancer. So basically, what's seen in this astrological journey is that you will have a family. And when you have a Taurus moon, which means somebody, you will be drawn towards somebody very strongly, and they will be drawn towards you. And it will be a soul connection. It will be a big soul connection. The point is you don't have to go out and look for it, because it's just going to come to you.
Okay.
And it's going to come to you soon, I think, with all the stuff that's in Scorpio right now. And you have Mercury in Gemini, so it's someone that Mercury in Gemini and Venus in Leo, the Mercury in Gemini is you need to have a person that really can understand you and get rapport linguistically with language with you, can really talk to you, an interesting person that can, and Venus in Leo is a lot of fun. So that's a kind of energy pattern that you're looking for.
Hmm.
Career pattern, the career in this chart is interesting because you have you also have Saturn in Taurus, and you have the Moon in Taurus, which means it's something. You know, Taurian energy is working is working with the environment, is working with the earth, is working with, in some way, planting something in this world that will change this world. That's what kind of career this chart looks like. And what do you do? What do you like to do?
I like writing creatively. I like teaching. So I was hoping
mm-hmm.
to, you know, marry the two.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, all of that is good. What do you write about?
I write children's stories and, yeah, like, basically family type of, stories.
Well, you have Mercury in Gemini and the Sun in Cancer. You know, that's family. That's enhancing families, helping families to be tighter together, growing a stronger connection with families. All of those kind of things with children. So it's really a beautiful chart. And the interesting thing is that that your moon went into Gemini when you were very, very young. And that means it went from the Taurian energy into the Gemini energy, which is writing and talking and being with kids and teaching and all the great things, you know, that's going to carry our universe forward. Let's see. What is going on that you feel that you're stuck? That's what I'm getting from this. You're stuck somewhere.
You know, I mean, I guess this is the time when I had, like, last year left my job and kind of was just you know, reassessing myself and I guess getting back in contact with the universe. And, you know, I guess this was my moment where I was just doing the purpose thing, you know, trying to just like put together. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, I wrote a lot and I sent out stories to publishers earlier this
mm-hmm.
year. And, you know, I was basically just trying to like, put that path, you know, envision a path where I can take, you know, I guess what I have to offer, and I'm still figuring the whole picture out. So I guess that
mm-hmm.
could representing my stuckness.
So, and you don't feel that it worked out?
Oh, no. I mean, you know, I sent the stuff out so not too long ago. So, I mean, you know, I think it's they're still out there because I haven't heard back from certain individuals.
How many?
I sent out 4. I mean, I have like some more stories that I will send out, but of course, with Mercury being in retrograde, my computer died, so I had to get that fixed before I can send my other stuff out.
Okay, Mercury went retrograde, right?
Yes.
It goes direct at when?
Say again?
It goes direct on the 17th.
I believe so.
Yes, that's when it went retrograde on. So it went retrograde February the 23rd. It's going to go direct on the 17th. Sorry, I got that backwards. And it won't be back to its original position until April the 8th.
Okay.
I always go when it goes direct, then it has to get back to the original position where it went retrograde.
Okay.
I do not think that should stop you. I think that basically Mercury retrograde has nothing to do with the fact that you need to send out more manuscripts.
Oh, no, I just meant that my computer is in the shop and that has my hard drive that has all my work on there. So,
mm-hmm.
no, I'm saying when Mercury went into retrograde, my computer just happened to die. So
yeah, it just happened to.
Yeah, so that's kind of what stopped me from sending stuff out until I
mm-hmm.
get it back. Which is funny because I'm supposed to get it back around the 17th, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, that's when it goes, you know, direct.
Yeah.
And and things are going to start to move for you a lot.
Okay.
Things are integrating. I got the card of integration for you, and
okay.
it means basically that this is like you're right in the center. That's why I get the stuckness. You're right in the center of this journey, and it means push forward. That's what I'm getting.
Okay.
Push forward, get that computer back important to get it back. Send a lot, you know, I mean, J.K. Rowling, how many did she send out? You know, these people send out a million of these things.
Right, right.
And you don't know who that it's going to get it. Right, Kate?
Right.
Encourage him to get them out, Kate.
Oh,
well, I'm hoping that you didn't lose anything when your computer crashed. You have it all, and that you backed everything up.
Yes, I did. In fact, there's this thing called, that's the name of it, but it's like an online backup, because I had originally had my computer crash previously, and I lost work, so I had gotten stuff saved online, so I do have the stuff I was working on.
I'm happy to hear that. So we do learn sometimes the hard way, don't we?
Yes, we do. But the thing was when my computer died and I lost work, I didn't think I'd be able to, like, recreate certain works, but then somehow the ideas came back to me and I was able to write it better than it was the first time around. So.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, do you have your stuff on Amazon?
There's like one story I had written a while ago that was like my first endeavor, which is on Amazon, Bobo World. But I've kind of written a lot more like children's stories. Bobo World was kind of like a juvenile fiction book.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
So the stories are more like you know, younger, and I have about like 12 that I wrote, so those were the ones I was sending out.
And
wow.
That's great. That is great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I think you're going to be very successful, Anthony. Just keep
it
up.
Okay, we'll do.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. So now you can tell us about what you said you wanted to talk about. You had done a chart on a person who won the Olympics and then who murdered
his girlfriend. Oscar Pistorius is the one that ran the race in the Olympics with no legs.
Okay.
He was the first person, the first one that was just not in the paraplegic or whatever Olympics, but he did a whole big thing, a campaign to run against the regular runners in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
At the end, and he's had no legs since very young. His son is at 29 degrees of Scorpio 44, which means right when he was right at that time when his son went into the next sign, which is very early because there's 30 degrees in a sign, that they took the rest of his legs off, and he has been with artificial legs for his whole life. So basically
mm-hmm.
what he's done is he really did something that no one has ever done or ever achieved. And this chart, of course, is void, of course, because it's way out there, the sun. And his moon is in Leo, so it was highly, highly dramatic, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And about a month ago, in South Africa, a hero. I mean, a major hero. About a month or so ago, he shot his girlfriend 4 times. And killed her, and nobody knows exactly what happened, but there was an altercation or whatever, but they don't know exactly, and he went down a hallway and shot her 4 times through the bathroom door. So now we have another hero that has fallen. You know, we're having many of them that have fallen, and the chart of his is very interesting because he has a Mercury Venus in Scorpio, and he has the Sun in Scorpio. And what that means a lot of times is that there is, with Mars in Aquarius, it means that there was abuse, probably a lot of taunting, probably a lot of classmates picked on him. Probably all of this stuff went on in his life that probably even his parents did not know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what shows up here is the fact that there was post-traumatic stress syndrome in some way, and he got into an altercation, and I think he blacked out, and his memory just went, and he was just in another time in another place and went after her and shot her. And now here's this person that did this wonderful thing for this country and for himself and also for every person that has artificial limbs and thinks they can't do something. The same thing that got him to that pinnacle is the same thing that got this girl, his girlfriend, shot. So it means that, you know, he has Mars in Aquarius, and it's in the first house, and Mars in Aquarius is running. Mars is running, and Aquarius is running in an unusual way, and not in the regular way that everybody else did it. And so there is that Mars in Aquarius and a Saturn-Uranus in conjunction, which means the Saturn in Sagittarius means falling from a very high place and suddenly Uranus in Sag, okay?
Yeah.
And, but in, you know, there's a lot of judgment, you know, when I watched a little bit of, I was very interested in this chart because it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting journey that he's chosen here. I mean, he must be a very ancient soul that has chosen this, I call them hero's journeys in some way. But they, you know, he got out on bail, and which a lot of people were very angry about. The point is what spiritually do we have to learn from this?
Well, not to mention that it's another incident of gun violence, which is just one thing that seems to be going on and on and on. With it's a perpetual theme in our society today, and I think that it really has to do with total fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
I think almost everything that we see right now is pointing to an acute fear of death.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think that shows itself?
Well, when people have guns, they're afraid. They've created barriers around their psyche. They're not expanding into spiritual realms. They are not. They're living purely in the physical. They think that when people die, they die. And they're completely committed to that thought. Our whole medical system is committed to when you die, you die. And our whole medical system is committed to the numbers instead of what a person brings to the table to overcome their, their maladies in a resilient way.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is that he had electric fence and guard dogs and guns in every room. And no one has all of that unless there is a total fear that someone's going to get them. That there has been some severe abuse in the lifetime that you would, you know, they're going, oh, he had this. But, you know, I just love the generalization, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of giving explanation and having conversations is really looking at what you're talking about, the fear of death, you know, and all of those kind of avenues, because we do have this immense fear of death. We do have this immense fear of you know, there's no other place. But we are vibrational beings, and the density of our vibration makes us into human beings. I mean, if we vibrated to the highest form, we would disappear. I mean, after all, there's Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
I was
really helped by the book by Julia Asante called The Final Frontier. So I want to tell people that I was really, really helped by this book. It really changed my whole perspective. And I would like you to draw a card on for D.D. Delaney, who is my brother, and he lives in Norfolk, and he just had some, he's always, you know, he's had this heart problem that comes and goes, and then he fell and broke his hip, and then a year ago he fell and off a bicycle right on the hip that was that broke, and he's been in acute pain ever since, and because of his lack of activity, he basically sent his heart into AFib. So now he's come out of the hospital, and he's much calmer now, and they're going to do some cardioversion. They're going to try to get that heart stronger now so that they can fix the hip. You know, they can't fix the hip until the cardiologist clear his heart.
Know,
but the thing is, I just want to say that he and I have talked quite extensively this week about death, and he's ready to die, but he knows that he doesn't really necessarily have to die right now. And he doesn't want to leave Jala, his beautiful wife of almost 50 years. So, yeah.
Well, with the card, I have faith in it, too.
I just want to say that the Jolie Osante's thing says that there is no death. And we are so close that when people die, when we do feel their communication, we think it's an overactive imagination, even though an overactive imagination is a good thing. But the fact is that people are communicating with us when they die, so-called die. So it's there's a whole thing that has to happen. And Julia Sante is supposed to be, according to many, the you know, how she is to the after-death movement as Cooper Ross was to the death and dying movement. So I really recommend this book to everybody. It's called The Last Frontier. It's on Amazon.
The Last Frontier.
Published by New World Library. Go ahead.
The other one's Evan Alexander. Dr. Evan Alexander is called Proof of Heaven. It's one of the most profound books I've read this week around death. It was sent to me when I got home. My friend who died is represented by a blue butterfly. Another friend sent me this book, and when I opened it when I got home last week from Phoenixville, that's where I am right now, it had the blue butterfly on the front. And this man...
Oh, that's fascinating. I love it.
And this man also, he died. He died completely, and he's a neurosurgeon.
Right.
Which means he was completely into the mental thing of death and dying and, you know, not coming back and all of this. And he talked about this the whole thing of going through this. And honest to God, it's like this woman that you said, it changed my life.
Yeah,
in relationship to death. And Dee should read both those books. And the other one is Dying to Be Me, the other girl that Wayne Dyer, huh?
That's right. The Dying to be Me is also life-changing. But I did an interview with Julia Sante on this radio show. So you guys can, and whoever's listening, can go back and listen to that interview if you don't have time to read the book, because the interview is really excellent. And I like all my interviews, but this one really does stand out. And she is such a real person, you know. She just speaks in such a scientist who happens to be a psychic. And somehow blending those two disciplines is quite remarkable, and you can hear it in the interview.
Right, wow. Okay, Dee's card is, he got the Temperance card. And the Temperance card is the middle of the night when the tribes, there's a woman on this, when the tribes do the high dances and when they get into the state where they are totally connected to the other world. That's when they walk on fire and they walk on glass and they're completely connected. And so, you know, I have the fifth thing too. And the way I'm looking at it is that the vibration, his vibration is raising up to a place that you start. And when I pray, when I meditate, you can learn to take it down. I learned to take it down. It was hard, and I did it a lot, but I would just breathe and then just start saying a prayer, start saying a certain prayer, and you can control it. And I think that D maybe is so powerful that he, you know, but he doesn't realize it. And
mm-hmm.
I got the shaman card of riding in. He has this guy's on a mule, and he's riding in to a new thing. He's riding out of his old history into a new history. And the other
mm-hmm.
one is the major arcana card, which is the justice card, which is balance, which means what his body is. The body is always, as you know, is always doing something to balance itself out.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do, you know, first we get a thought, and then we emotionally get into it, and then if we don't really listen and heed, then we get it physically. But it's just a message to try to get the message. So I think it's not about dying. I think it's about living.
It is, and even dying is about living.
Well, of course it is. Yes, and the major arcana cards that I put over. This one is Beauty and the Beast, and it's a really interesting thing because when I get this card, it's the one that I place over top of the Justice card. It's in the fairy tale deck, and everything is fairy tales, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it means basically going into a dark place. The Beast, she went into the Beast and learning something very deep, 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 that you would not have learned unless you went through out of the comfort zone, into the stretch zone, into the risk zone, into the die zone. You have to go there,
yes,
and face your beast in a way that you've never done, and become extremely uncomfortable, and you don't have anything around you that's comforting in some ways, and then you begin to see the light. You begin
mm-hmm.
to see that something new is cracking open and breaking open, and something new is birthing.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel here that goes over the card in the fairy tale card is that all the books are open. This angel has books open. She has scrolls. The children are laying at her feet with books open. So it means there's a big thing that Dee is supposed to learn here.
It is huge.
It's huge, and the blue butterfly card fell out of the fairy tale cards, isn't that something?
Well, our friend Joanne is Tom saw Joanne, and one thing, Julia Asante, Tom read the book. My husband Tom read the book, The Last Frontier, and he saw Joanne downtown looking, you know, in her prime. And then he read in the book a few days later that when people die and they show up to us, they always appear in their prime. If a child dies, they show up not necessarily as a child, but they show up, say, in you know, their early 20s, early 30s. And that's how they all tend to show up to us, as these vibrant, youthful beings. And she
yes.
said that when people die, they immediately become enlightened, except that some
yes.
people might take a little longer if they've held on to some rigidly held dogma stuff about religion,
yeah.
especially.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
anyway,
but
there is no karma.
There
is no karma. How do you like that? There is no karma. There are no
rules.
Oh, I
don't believe in karma.
There are no rules. There's nothing holding us back except for that which we believe. So when people hang on to their guns and they're hanging on to things that to protect
mm-hmm.
themselves, they are. This is like the last rose of some sort of crazy thing, and I think it's a fear of death. I really do.
Well, it is. It's a fear of death.
And for people who are listening, they need to get a hold of you to help them. It's Mary Sheila Audette, and I had spelled it at the beginning before you called in. Mary Sheila Audette, AUDET @gmail.com.
Right.
And on Facebook as Sheila Audette, not Mary Sheila,
and,
but Sheila.
I'm also doing astrological circles,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're being very successful. I'm doing one in Lancaster on the 24th. 10 people come in, and we do work with their charts, and we do work psychological work. And they've been very successful. I'm doing one. I'm down in Phoenixville right now. I'm beginning to stretch out and do them around. I'm going to do them around the country.
And, oh,
I'm so happy
for you.
Because the astrology needs a voice. It needs a voice, and it's your own journey, and it's your own card. And so you can get in touch with me either one of those places, you know, if you're interested in coming into one of the groups. And people learn things about each other. They learn things when they deny things. It's really funny because another person at the table will say, oh, yes, you do that, you know?
Right.
So it's a very interesting concept to do the charts with other people, to do the chart with other people in the room. It's a fascinating process that I've come upon, and it's really working with people, you know, and it's getting the fact that, you know, the tarot card and all the cards are wonderful for the moment, but the astrological thing is your journey. It's your your own card, your own moment of birth, your own journey. So. Anyway,
oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, Sheila. Thank you for sharing.
Okay. And
we've come
you.
To the end. Yeah, love you. And next month, when you come on, I can only do it, the show now, for a while, half-hour increments, because just because we're going to have to do it a half-hour for a while, and then after a while, I'll get back to an hour. But, okay. Love to
all
you.
All right, Angel.
And I'm going to be playing Music for Mother and Child by Klaus B. Jensen. Here we go.
Okay,
love you.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.